Hello, friends. It's your old pal, Ariel Helwani, back with another episode of DC and Helwani. And my friends, we got a lot to talk about. So stay tuned for that. But I do want to give a quick shout out to my guy, Scott Van Pelt, a.k.a. SVP. If you've been watching the Late Night Sports Center as of late, you've probably noticed that SVP is back doing what he loves, which is hosting Sports Center, but also he's in the comfort of a brand new studio in his hometown of Washington, D.C. How lucky is this guy? Yeah, he got to go home. I mean, this is every person's dream. And I am envious. I am jealous, but I'm very happy for him. Let me tell you something. He came back at the exact right time because there is so much going on in the world of sports. We got the NBA Finals coming up. We got MLB playoffs. We got Stanley Cup Finals. We've got NFL week 4. We've got so much going on in college football, the fight game, if you will. So let me tell you, if you want to know about everything and anything going on in the world of sports, check out his weekly pod, the SV Pod. And you can check it out wherever you find your podcasts. And while you're there, leave him a review and tell him that you want more UFC and more knows on SportsCenter. All right? I appreciate it. Thank you. Until then, here's today's show. And remember, as always, listener discretion is advised.
Now making their way to the microphone, DC and Helwani.
We'll get to you in a second.
On your high horse, I know something like UFC 115 and UFC 99 and Hamzaku Shakurai. Come on, man.
Here's Daniel Cormier and Ariel Helwani.
In your life on this fifth week of September 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of DC and Helwani. That's DC, Daniel Cormier. I'm Helwani, Ariel Helwani, and DC, you're like a kid who's about to walk into a candy store or something, or a kid the morning of Christmas. I've never experienced.
About to get a corn dog.
I saw
a corn dog yesterday for the first time in a long time. This dude was dancing. He told me the last time he had a corn dog was in March. He was like, I haven't had one of these in a long time.
Who is dancing? What are you talking about?
Little Daniel. Me and little Daniel went golfing, and after golf, he got a corn dog because he did so well. He was like, Dad, I haven't had one of these since March, and he was rocking back and forth, and I feel just like Daniel did yesterday after watching those fights. I mean, Erica. This UFC, boy, it just keeps getting better and better. And I thought after last week, I couldn't be more excited after Chimaev. Once I watched Chimaev, I was ready to drive the train. But then last night, I got even more excited.
Unbelievable.
I mean, come on, Helwani. Is it getting better? Can the UFC be getting better?
It is getting better. I do want to let people know, in the interest of full disclosure, we are taping this on.
Come on, man. I thought we weren't going to tell.
Well, you just said last night three times.
Hey, and right before you guys are like, don't say last night, DC.
I'm a pro. I don't make those kinds of mistakes. We are taping this on Sunday afternoon. Why? And I know that the YouTube comments are going to get very upset that we're not live. The reason for this is right now is Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year for my people, the Jewish people. We are fasting right now. We are atoning for our sins, DC. I mean, if you want to do it as well, you know, just because I know it's, you know, a lot of, you know, it's been a lot of things this past year.
How long do you fast for?
Well, you know, the whole COVID thing when you didn't tell me, I mean, that was a pretty big one that you should probably atone for. But we atoned for 25 hours, DC, so we're in the thick of it right now. So we had to tape this before, and you just let people know that it's Sunday because you said last night. Thank you.
Well, hey, Ari, I hope you have a great holiday. And
what's the holiday's name?
To me, you're perfect. So I don't know what you got to atone for. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're as good as they come to me in my eyes.
Thank you. You're perfect.
You're the perfect.
What's it called? What's the name of the holiday?
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur.
You see that? You think I know? I told you. Just like Friday. Hey, I hope you're having a great Shabbat dinner. Like, you know, I pay attention. I'm a good friend.
Granted,
I will not be fasting until tomorrow. So, but I wish you all the luck in your on your holiday. Like I said, there's nothing for you to, you know, apologize for. You're as good as they come in my eyes, friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Another guy who apologizes for absolutely nothing is Conor McGregor. What about that segue? I mean, unbelievable. We'll talk about him later on in the show, DC. We're going to talk Jorge Masvidal, Colby Covington, Nathan Diaz, Khamzat Chimaev. We got a lot to get to, but first we have to give the king his due because like Roy Jones Jr. said back in 2003, y'all must have forgot just how good Israel Adesanya is. Yes, it's not Adesanya, it's Adesanya, the last style bender, because all you people who jumped off his bandwagon in March, who said that he was a phony, overhyped, that he was all buzz, that he wasn't a good fighter, that he runs, what were you saying on Saturday night when he dismantled, when he outclassed Paulo Costa? It was never in doubt, an unbelievable performance. He retained his middleweight title. What did you think of what Izzy did in there on Saturday?
All, what you were saying was all hail the king.
Yes.
Israel, hey, Adesanya. Hey, I'm saying it too now. Adesanya. You want to be called
Adesanya. Adesanya.
You want to be called Adesanya? Okay.
It's like he disses on you. He disses on you. You get me?
You change it, Izzy? Okay, son. I see you. You want to change your name? I see you, Izzy. You want to do whatever you want to do. I'm on board. Because, bro, he put it on that man last night. He put it on Paulo Costa and made him look like he didn't even belong. And that's tough to do. Right? Paulo Costa is as good as they come, and Izzy made him look like a rank amateur. It was a pro versus an amateur out there. It was not competitive. There was no second of that fight where you thought Costa had a chance. And once again, he shows, man, that he is the absolute class of the UFC middleweight division and just further proves that everyone is – they're playing catch-up. They're playing catch-up from a very, very massive head start by the champ, Izzy. I mean, he's the man.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of people were buying into the fact that he wasn't as good as we said he was, all this stuff. And even on Saturday, even when I was talking to Chael and Brett after the fight, they were talking about they wanted to start with what Paulo didn't do, that he didn't bring the fight to him, that he didn't show up, all this stuff. The story isn't that. That's not the story. The story is that arguably for the third straight fight, DC, Izzy has left a great fighter just sort of frozen in there, right? Like, you can make the case he did it to Robert Whittaker. He certainly did it to Yoel Romero, and he did it to Paulo Costa. It's because he's so good. The story is there are levels to this game, as we've been reminded over the years. He is so far and away better than everyone at 185 right now. Once again, Costa didn't know what to do with him. That was all Izzy. To say that it was Costa not bringing the fight to him, to me, is a disservice to what Izzy did in there.
Oh, Ariel. If Paulo Costa attacked, he was done. So it's damned if you do, and it's damned if you don't. Because if he attacked Israel Adesanya, Izzy's one of the best counter strikers in the entire world. He can counter, and that's what happened with Robert Whittaker. Remember, Robert Whittaker brought it to him. He tried to go forward, and he got knocked out. He put himself in trouble at the end of the first round, got dropped, and the fight was pretty much over. Second round, he went right back to that and got dropped with that left hook that put him to sleep. So, damn, if I do bring the pressure, this dude could knock me out. So Paulo Costa goes, I am going to fight every urge, every fight and every instinct that I have to go and chase this dude down. I'm going to fight that, and I'm going to stay at range and be more patient. Damn, because I didn't, right? So it's damned if you do, Robert Whittaker, and it's damned if you don't, Paulo Costa, because if you stay at range, he is going to pick you apart. I mean, those nasty leg kicks he landed, Paulo Costa was immobile after the first round because he took so many leg kicks in the same spot, right? And then when he couldn't move anymore, Izzy started kind of giving it to him a little bit. All the gamesmanship, come on, fight me. When Izzy fought him, it's not like Costa went off. He still just took his licks. He took his beating. And the moment that Izzy realized that the threat was completely gone, he just went and did his thing and landed that nasty left hook right on the side of the temple, put him down. I mean, got on top of him and just finished him. It was nasty. It was clean. It was as clean a performance as you can hope for. He looked great against Robert Whittaker, right? Mm. And he didn't look as good against Yoel Romero, but who does, right? Yoel has a way of making people look a little bit less than. But yesterday, he looked as good as he's ever looked in his entire career. And it just kind of goes to show you that for as good as Izzy is and for as average as he makes a lot of people look, when you get a fight like he had against Kelvin Gastelum, it's like a rarity, right? That someone can compete with him at that level for as long as Gastelum went, but ultimately lost the fight and got hurt very bad at the end of the fight where he looked like he was going to get finished. So anytime we see Izzy in a fight that's competitive, we better appreciate him because they're going to be few and far in between.
I knew he would fight with a chip on his shoulder, and I think we saw that in the post-fight with everything that he said, and certainly with his Twitter on Sunday. I mean, he's going on and on and on. I mean, it's very entertaining stuff. You and I don't like to make bets. You and I don't like to make predictions, I should say, before these fights. This was one of the easiest.
Don't act like I predicted this dude was going to lose, man.
No. I'm saying this is one of the easiest fights to predict. I was on ESPN Radio before the show on Saturday, and they asked me, who's going to win? Give us a prediction. I'm like, I don't really like to make predictions. But you know what? Second round TKO. It's easy. He's not on his level. Costa was not on his level, and I think we were reminded of that. Who are you texting right now in the middle of the show?
I'm not texting. I'm pulling up this text message group with my friend Jamil Kelly, who was on the Olympic team with me, and my pastor, Devon. He wrote me, who wins tonight in both the main event or in the co-main event? I said, Błachowicz and Adesanya.
You said Błachowicz? I don't believe you on Błachowicz.
I promise you I said Błachowicz.
Okay.
I promise you I said Błachowicz. Right. And then it said, I said, Adesanya finishes in two. I go because on another group, I said either it'll be insanely competitive or Izzy's going to embarrass him. There was only two ways this fight was going to play out. And then I had a bet with one of my friends last night. And right after Błachowicz won, I sent this video. And
what are you doing?
You're making fun of him?
Yeah.
It's just me sending the video going, where's my money? Because what did I tell you? Because I just had a feeling that Jan would win. But I also told those guys and everybody that would listen, very competitive if Paulo has a chance. But if not, he gets embarrassed. And that's exactly what happened. He got embarrassed.
I just love that someone, after all these years – finally said y'all must have forgotten their post-fight interview. I've been asking someone to say this for years. I've been trying. I say it almost every week.
At some point, you got to stop just doing this. Y'all must have forgotten. You do it with everybody.
And he did it.
With everybody.
He finally did it. And never before was it so appropriate because everyone jumped off the bandwagon back in March. Just crazy to me considering what this guy has done and how good he is. And so now the question is, who's next, right? He has a lot of respect for Jared Cannonier. Jared Cannonier is fighting Robert Whittaker on October 24th in essentially a month's time. If Cannonier wins, no brainer. But DC, what if Robert Whittaker wins? Are you really going to do Whittaker versus Izzy next? I don't know if there's a lot of interest in seeing that fight. Is it maybe Darren Till if he beats Hermanson? Is it Hermanson if he beats Darren Till? Who else is out there? What are you talking about? You want to see Whittaker versus Izzy again?
Man, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote me yesterday, who are you going to fight next? I was like, I don't know. He said, well, Jared Cannonier ain't it. Like, the dude was like, I think Jared Cannonier and his story is so great. But how does Jared Cannonier get to Izzy right now? It just doesn't seem like the...
If he beats Robert Whittaker, he deserves it.
No, but it just does not seem like the style matches up. Like you said, it just seems like he's got... Like, the gap is like this. Like, yeah. I don't know who's going to compete with this dude. And I like Jared. And Jared's powerful. But, like, man, when Jared fought Anderson, he fought, like, at a very slow pace, right? Until he landed those kicks that hurt Anderson. How does he approach a fight with Izzy? How does anybody approach a fight with Izzy right now? That goes – and again, like, it's a credit, man, to guys like – Anderson Silva went three rounds with this guy somehow. How? Mm-hmm. When everybody thinks Anderson's done. Anderson fought this dude.
Respect?
I mean, I don't know.
Crow Cop Barry? Like, maybe Izzy respected him too much?
I just don't know how Anderson went three rounds with this guy. How did he do what all these guys – Costa, Whittaker – who we think are the greatest fighters in the world today, how are they not able to compete with this guy when Anderson can and go fight three rounds with him? It shows you how special Silva is, but also maybe Izzy still improving at such an alarming rate that now he's knocking these guys out that are the best fighters in the world in under 10 minutes. Like, I don't know how he's doing it, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, that was almost a year and a half or so ago, almost 2 years at this point. So obviously he has come along since that fight back in Australia in February of last year. So like I said, I think we'd agree if Jared wins, that's the fight. It gets a little messy if it's not, you know, if it's not John Jones. Do you do the John Jones fight? You can't do the John Jones fight. That's not like, that's the biggest one, but it's not going to happen, right?
Maybe time. I think it might be time already.
Like, no, get out of here.
I know sometimes.
And we will get to John a little more in depth in a second.
Ariel, I know sometimes I get a little excited.
Yesterday you said Chimaev double champ. You still think Chimaev is beating Stylebender?
I never said Chimaev was beating Stylebender.
You did. You said Chimaev double champ within a year. No.
Because at that point, I figured Izzy would be the light heavyweight champion.
You know what I'm saying? You did.
At that point, Izzy goes up because guess what? Izzy's the best 205-pounder in the world right now.
Izzy beats Jan, right?
Izzy beats everybody. Yeah, hey, Izzy's the best 205-pound champion in the world right now.
He's got to be in that pound-for-pound discussion.
Bro, I'm telling you, after what I saw last night, I think Adesanya is the best light heavyweight in the world right now. Not much less the best middleweight in the world. I think he's the best light heavyweight in the world because he's big. See how big he looked out there last night? He's tall, he's lean, he's strong. And, I mean, I was watching him walk to the octagon area, and I tweeted, I said, he made the jump, right? He's made the leap, right? You watch athletes, and you can tell when they make the leap from this guy's good to this guy's a star. You could tell, like, this guy's a star, right? When you saw Mike walk to the ring, dude's a star. Roy Jones, dude's a star. Floyd Mayweather, dude's a star. Canelo, today, dude's a star. Like, you can tell when a guy's a star, right? John Jones, dude's a star. GSP, dude's a star. Connor, he's a star.
Okay, we get it. We get it. I mean, how many are you going to tell us?
I want to keep, because, hey, I got to keep listing people because LeBron, he's a star. Michael Jordan, he's a star, right? Okay. I like watching LeBron walk into the arena like that.
Yes.
That's what I show up.
Okay, what's your point?
Wait, that's what I show up for. I don't watch the game. I watch to see and get that feel that LeBron's a star. I watch Izzy and I say, oh, this dude's a star. That's it. He's made that leap. It's not like, oh, this kid can be something down the line. Right now, he's the man. And them dudes ain't beating him. And guess what? If he goes up to light heavyweight, Izzy's going to be the double champ. I know I'm giving out a lot of double champions, you know, lately, but Izzy's the double champ, man.
He didn't dance on the way to the cage. He danced on the way out. By the way, very quickly, I loved what he had to say about, you know, the fines for the weigh-ins, that he's thinking about that in the moment for his buddies. He's saying, no. Find them 90% because there's a lot of corruption in this sport. Don't find them 20, 30, 40%. He's doing that in the cage seconds after he beats Costa. He's campaigning to Dana White about this. Shows you what kind of a guy he is. Also shows you what kind of a team CKB is. They go 2-2 in their four fights, but they were all
dancing back there.
All dancing, all happy for each other. No one's jealous. No one's upset. It was just a great scene, and I'm very happy for Izzy that he got to prove his point. Yes, before we move along here.
Jason Tatum's a star. you like that? You like what I'm saying? This guy. I'm listening.
Tyler, everybody. Here. Josh Allen. They are stars.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Let's talk about another star, Jan Błachowicz. You really thought Jan was going to beat Dominic Reyes?
I knew it. Hey, do you know?
Tell me that.
Listen to this stat. Jan Błachowicz is the first light heavyweight champion not named Cormier or Jones in a decade.
Are you serious?
In a decade. Listen
to this. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that.
Decade, the belt, 1,500 days for Jones, 1,300 days for Cormier. This is the first light heavyweight champion in a decade to hold that belt. And it is the Polish powerhouse, Jan. You got to say it right. Bois. Jan. It's time to start pronouncing it the correct way.
Yeah. Błachowicz.
Jan Błachowicz, the Polish powerhouse. I mean, can we get the – is that his name? Is his name the Polish powerhouse?
I don't think so. Can we get that going? The Polish Hammer or the Pride of Poland. He's Polish a very nice guy. It's a great name. That is a great name. The double P works. But by the way, in a million years, let's be honest, did you ever think this man would be a champion in the UFC? I mean, this guy was sort of like, you know, a mid-tier light heavyweight getting knocked out by Thiago Santos. The Gustafsson fight was just sort of – I didn't see this coming. I did not see this coming whatsoever. I am – dare I say I am shocked that Jan is the – that we went from Shogun to John Jones to DC to Jan Błachowicz. I am shocked. No disrespect. He's incredible, but I am shocked.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. We play a game where – we play a game where nothing's guaranteed. And if a guy gets on the roll and a guy develops belief in himself and his skill set, sky's the limit. And that's what happened for Jan. And, man, I made that video last night after the fight. And I said he's kind of slow because he is. But, bro, dude's there to fight every single time. And if he lands, it's over. He must hit so hard. The way – when he hit Dominic Reyes, it looked like Dominic Reyes just immediately went into a shell, like – he could not – it was like he had never felt power like he got hit with by Jan last night. And, man, combinations. Jan kicks him on the side twice. And did you see that big old mark on his body? It was disgusting. Selena couldn't even watch it. That's how beat up his body was after Jan landed one or two body kicks. It's crazy. This dude is a story of a guy that just truly believes in himself and the people around him, and that the sky's the limit. And congratulations to Jan Błachowicz, man. That dude, he deserves it. When Luke Rockhold was going to fight him, I thought, oh, easy fight. Great fight at 205, right? Like, this is the best because this guy was a middleweight. Now you go up and you fight another middleweight and, dude, knocks Luke out, and now he's knocked everybody out since, and he's the champ.
You know, it's such a fascinating thing when you have these guys come into their own and they win at 37. He wins and no one saw it coming. It's great. On the flip side, you have Dominic, who my heart breaks for him a little bit because I thought he beat John Jones. He should have won the belt. And, you know, I thought he was going to win, but we talked to John Anik on Saturday before the fight. And John told me that in the – and Chael, John said that in the fighter meeting, right, that you guys do – he was still lamenting the fact that it was, you know, a 6-week camp. Mm. He didn't have enough time. And he told me that when the fight was booked, I'm like, man, the guy, he's still talking about this. He's still upset about this. That's when I started to get a little worried for Dominic. What went wrong with this guy? I mean, look, sometimes styles make fights, right? And John was very happy. John Jones was, you know, talk about trolling. I mean, like the
tweets. That's bad, man. Like, that's
Apple
bad.
Valley. He was just all over him.
Like, at some point, do you not kick people when they're down, man? Like, do you not?
John was enjoying that.
Does John Jones not understand that his time's going to come? Does he not understand that his time's going to come? His time's going to come. And he's kicking these dudes while they're down, man. That's not good, man. You got to, like, lay off the guy. Because it's a very hard walk for a guy like Dominic Reyes, who went from – because his life has changed. He beats John Jones, right? A guy that everybody thinks is unbeatable, becomes the champ. His star shines as bright as anyone the sport has ever seen. He wins that belt the other day. It still is, okay, the rightful guy now has the belt because we all thought he beat Jones. People thought he beat Jones. Yep. But now, could you imagine with Dominic Reyes, the overnight hangover of a Dominic Reyes after getting knocked out in that way? You go from beating the guy that people consider the GOAT to losing to Jan Błachowicz, because guess what? Whereas you just said that, I'm surprised Jan Błachowicz is the champion. Reyes probably went to that fight thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
This guy's got knocked out by this dude. He's this. And you go in there and you lose to that dude. His flight home is as bad and as lonely as anybody's flight's ever been, bro. He's in the back right now, away from his team, crying. Anytime he gets a moment alone, the tears start to flow. The sadness seeps in. It's a sadness in the pit of your stomach that most people can't comprehend. And for Jones, a guy that has dealt with so many bad things, self-inflicted, remember, to be kicking him when he's down, that's just bad. It's bad.
What did you make of the tweet saying, like, hey, you guys want me to come back down and get my bet real quick?
That's whack. That's so whack. Hey, have you ever met a guy that's so out of touch? Like, he's out of touch. It's like, okay, John, then why not just go, hey, I was afraid of Dominic Reyes. Now I want to go back to 205 and fight Jan Błachowicz because he beat Dom. Like, that's crazy. Why would he do that? Like, I mean – who does that? Who does that?
It was a little off-putting, right? I mean,
he could have fought Reyes. This could have been him and Reyes yesterday. This was supposed to be him and Reyes.
Or him and Young.
Yeah, he gave up the belt. He gave up the belt and said, I want to fight heavyweight. But now you're, maybe I'll go back. Like, how could you be so out of touch? I don't get it. Well, that's your friend, man. That's your guy. I saw you walking around Albuquerque with that dude, and you got a stench on you. I mean, since that, I mean, there is a stench to you that I just can't. I mean, ugh. That was you walking around Albuquerque.
I don't know. I think John is not happy with me these days.
I mean, but that's your friend. That is your boy over there kicking people while they down and just pretty much admitting, I don't want to fight Dominic Reyes, but I'll fight Jan Błachowicz. I mean, that's crazy, man.
Okay, so right after Jan wins, he calls out John Jones. Do you think there's any chance this fight happens?
If I'm Jones, I'm doing it. I mean, I'm doing it if I'm Jones.
Really?
If I'm Jones, I'm doing it.
Man, you're disrespecting Jan. Why can't Jan knock him out?
Man, let me tell you something. I'll tell you this right now. Jones beats Błachowicz. Too slow. He's too slow to beat. And the thing about Jones is people don't realize he's got a good chin. You can hit him.
Yeah.
I hit him. A lot of us hit him. And he can take punches, man. And if Jan Błachowicz is out there and he's too slow, Jones will pick him apart. But God, I can't believe. Hey, look, if I was still fighting at 205, or if I was still fighting today, he said, DC, you can fight Jan Błachowicz, I'd probably fight Jan Błachowicz. No disrespect. Just because I just think that like you said, it's surprising, right? When you have the footage of people getting no victories over him, you think you could do it too. Any fighter does. And if you're a guy like myself or Jones, then of course you think you can beat him, and that's why Jones would go fight him.
So congratulations to Israel Adesanya.
Hey, let me tell you something. I don't want to fight you, Błachowicz. I'm talking hypotheticals. You're the man, bro, and you deserve it.
Polish powerhouse.
The Polish powerhouse. I'm on.
Come on now.
I'm about to make you my profile picture on my Instagram.
That's Champ. Right. Yeah, let's right. Imagine that. Brandon Royval, great flyweight fight. They're doing great things. Overall, fun night. Maybe one kind of dark moment, if you will. It's getting uncomfortable, DC. It's getting uncomfortable watching Diego Sanchez fight. What do they do with Diego Sanchez? You know, I hate when we have to sit here and campaign for someone to retire, but like, it is getting uncomfortable. What do you do with Diego Sanchez?
Oh, you know what, man? Like, first off, great night of fights. Royval and Kai Kara France, which to my is that his real name? Is that Kai Kara France? Is that his real name? Because it just seems way too perfect.
No, it's amazing.
Kai Kara France, is that his real name? First off, I don't believe your name is Ariel Helwani. At some point, I would like you to tell me your real name.
You want my birth certificate?
I want to know your real name. Kai Kara France. It just seems too perfect. I'd love the Sajara Eubanks versus Ketlin Vieira fight. Probably my favorite fight of the entire night.
She got on the charter. Sajara finally got on the charter.
So Sajara got going. She went there. And there is a video coming out, a new show showing how Fight Island came to part. I hope I am in the show with my idea from our show early in the year. Because I came up with the whole Fight Island thing. And, you know, I would like to get credit for it. But the Diego Sanchez thing, man, it's crazy. I mean, from Josh, his name is Josh. Josh?
Fabia, yeah. School of Self-Awareness.
He goes up to Matt Han. He got schooled by Matt Serra, man. Matt Serra's like, yo, how about this? I don't even know your name. Dude's like, if you're teaching the School of Self-Awareness, how are you so unaware that you shouldn't go interrupt Matt Serra at breakfast, man? And then Diego's out there just moving around like he does this little thing. I used to like it, this little thing where he points his hand and he just kind of moves to the side. But Jake Matthews put it on him. It was bad. And he looks a little bit out of shape. He looks a little bit less like in tune. And I don't know, man. I just think that
it's uncomfortable.
Time for Diego to hang it up. It's time for him to hang it up, man. And, you know, it was never close last night. And honestly, it was never close in the fight with Prajeda. He never won. He won because he's a smart guy, right? He's very self-aware in that sense. He was like, hey, it was illegal. You know, I can't really continue giving my victory. But it's time, man. It's time for Diego. It's over.
Well, I can't believe it's September 2020, and I can make a perfect transition from Diego Sanchez to Conor McGregor, but I can make a perfect transition from Diego Sanchez to Conor McGregor because Conor McGregor was in the news this past week. exposing some DM conversations with Dana White where he was campaigning for a fight, among many other things, with Diego Sanchez. I don't think that was the crux of it. I think he was trying to prove that he's been wanting to fight, and really everything that I've been saying for the past few months, that it's a travesty that he hasn't fought, that he wanted to fight dating back to February, that he's been itching to fight, that he never wanted to retire, all this stuff and more. So he goes on this, you know, this rampage on Friday, and then he drops the bomb. Well, anyway, I'm fighting Manny Pacquiao in the Middle East. Then I talk to his manager, Adi Atarb, tells me serious talks, not a done deal, either late December or January of next year. UFC is on board, he said. He's talked to them. And a lot of people said that Dana White, you know, denied. He didn't really deny, just didn't really want to go into it at the press conference. But he's well aware they're on board, and they've done it before with Floyd Mayweather. So let me ask you this. Before we get into all the DM stuff and the Diego stuff, what is your level of interest in seeing Conor McGregor fight Manny Pacquiao either late this year or early next year?
I got to be honest, Helwani, man. Like, I'm a fan of Conor McGregor. So whenever he does something, I watch, whether it's mixed martial arts, whether it's boxing. I remember when he fought Floyd. I was on a vacation in Hawaii watching the fight with L, my business partner, L, at a luau, right? At a luau, we had the phone on the table watching Conor fight Floyd. So I'll watch it. I'll definitely watch it. I'm a fan. I think that he'll build a great fight with Manny. I think it'll be interesting. I think it'll be intriguing to see whether or not he can compete at that level. Do I think he can? No. I think it's a dangerous fight for him because Manny's so powerful. And Manny, I don't feel, is going to end up fighting him at a pace that him and Floyd fought at a very leisurely pace early. I don't think Pacquiao has that ability. He's going to go out there and try to knock his head off. But, yeah, I'm tuning in. I'm definitely watching for sure.
Well, first of all, anyone who says they're not watching is a liar. They're lying. It would be a spectacle. They will watch, yada, 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 yada. But here's the thing. These are the facts. We don't want to see Conor fight Manny Pacquiao in late 2020, early 2021. I want to see him fight MMA. And again, mm-hmm. he was so into this season, the three fights, all this stuff. I don't know how he got to this point to where he feels like he has to go there in order to just be active. So I want everyone to be very, you know, clear about this. I don't think you or I or anyone wants this to happen. We will all watch it. We will all cover it. It will be a massive deal. We'll sell a ton of pay-per-views. I'm intrigued. By the way, the weight to me is a huge question. Pacquiao has never fought above 147. Mm-hmm. Conor hasn't been down in that territory for quite some time. He's fighting as a 170 pounder. Are they going to meet at like 150 or something? That
to me is big.
Yes.
Big.
That's fascinating. But DC, the real story is what is going on. And it just seems like every day the relationship gets worse, right? The DMs, Dana says he breaks the code. Conor comes back and says, well, the code was broken when you told people that I didn't want to fight. Like, this seems to be a very toxic relationship right now. How do they fix it? How do you make things better with the biggest star in the history of the sport? Because this isn't going down the right path, right?
No, it's not. And you know, I think that these guys have done that before, right? This isn't new, right? Conor McGregor and the UFC being on bad terms isn't really new, especially lately, right? Like, they've been in these fights for a long time, and ultimately they get things worked out, and I believe that that's going to happen again. But I think a level of trust has been if they've been betrayed on both sides, right? Conor feels betrayed because he didn't get to fight in the way that he wanted. Dana and the UFC feel betrayed because Conor shared private messages. You know, I think that's where I think the issue is going to be. But I also believe that Dana and Conor usually can work things out. But if not, that's when Lorenzo will get and come and help, because mm-hmm. Conor respects Lorenzo so much that he's always willing to listen. And I think that with Dana, Lorenzo, and Conor, when they're all together, they generally can get things worked out. And I think that's ultimately what's going to happen.
I still think eventually he comes back, he fights in the UFC, probably not this year. I mean, the clock is ticking. And he fights the winner of Khabib versus Gaethje. I think that's what they always wanted, right? And they were just trying to buy some time. So maybe he fights a Pacquiao in December or January, and then he fights Khabib or Gaethje in April. It could all be fixed. But right now it's like reaching some sort of like uncomfortable, because
uncomfortable to watch.
Right?
Because it's like you got two guys, right? You got two guys that don't seem like they're going to back down.
Right.
Like, why would Dana White ever back down to anyone, right? Doesn't need to. He's got a whole organization to replace fights. Like, this is his world. But why would Conor not? Dude's got a ton of money, got a very you know, he's got so much money from the boxing, from the fighting. He's also got a great product in Proper 12, right? So he's making money hand over fist himself. So he doesn't feel like he needs to back down, especially with all the opportunities he has outside of the octagon. So it when you get two people like that and they come to a crossroads, you don't understand how they're going to make it work. But ultimately, I do believe that cooler heads will prevail and it'll work itself out. I really do.
I strongly believe that this has been the lone cloud over the UFC's year. Like, they came back first, right? Of all the sports, they said they were going to come back. They came back. There haven't been any serious issues with COVID. Fight Island, they're on fire, like you said. The fights have been great. The pay-per-views have been great. There have been big shows, big headline events, all this stuff and more. The fact that you have had Conor fight for 40 seconds in 2020 to me is mind-boggling. Like, you have this guy who is like begging to be tagged in to literally fight Diego Sanchez. Like, forget about the actual matchup, the symbolism of him trying to beg to fight a Diego Sanchez, and you can't figure out how to make it happen. To me, blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind. How do you not figure this out? How do you not figure it out? What's this face you're making?
So you're actually exactly what. You believe this?
What?
You believe this?
Believe what?
You believe that Conor would fight Diego Sanchez?
No, I'm just saying. Forget about the fact.
Okay, I get it, right? No, Conor's trying to use a guy like you to prove, yes, like, I'm willing to fight anybody, right? We just talked about Diego being done, and the biggest star in the UFC history is saying he'll fight him. So if you say you'll fight Diego Sanchez, it's saying that I'll fight anybody. But the reality is, Conor ain't fighting anybody. It has to be the right fight.
Because I don't think so.
Because if Conor was fighting anybody, right, Conor would have been, if and again, it's like I'm not trying to fight the opposite side of the argument with you. So please don't try to paint me off to this
white knight. Using me?
Listen, okay. If Conor was willing to fight just anybody, he would have agreed to be the replacement guy for Khabib versus.
That is such a joke.
If he was willing to fight anyone, right, he would agree to that.
Why?
Like, he would agree to that.
You wouldn't agree to that. Would you be the backup fighter to John Jones versus Dominic Reyes? No, you wouldn't. You would say, I'm no backup fighter. Come on now. Well, you would not agree to that.
But also, I'm not saying I'll fight anybody anytime. I'm saying I want the right fight, right? Like, I want to fight the guy when I get it scheduled and all that. Conor's saying it like he just wants to be in the octagon. And if he wants to just be in the octagon, let's get him in the octagon. That's all I'm saying. I'm not knocking Conor McGregor.
That's all I'm saying, too.
I'm just saying if Conor McGregor was willing to fight anybody, he would have said, okay. Because reality is, if at this point, if you're the backup or Khabib versus Ferguson gets scheduled, are you actually fighting?
It's a status thing.
Ferguson, if you're Khabib versus Ferguson and that's scheduled, and they say, hey, you're tagged as the next guy, they're not fighting. You're fighting one of those two guys because one of them not making it to the fight because it always happens. So history would have shown,
Canelo ever be the backup fighter? Would Triple G be the backup fighter?
I get Conor's a bigger star than anyone, so he shouldn't have to be a backup. Yes. I'm trying to prove to you that if this is real, like, I'll fight anybody anytime. That would have been the case. Sorry. I mean, you're never going to get me to agree to it.
What a flawed argument.
I can see now.
By the way.
I can see now why people go, Ariel loves Conor.
Because everyone's afraid to say that he's right. In this situation,
I'm not saying he's wrong. By
the way, you're also ignoring the fact that back in May, he couldn't come into the country. Couldn't actually come into the country. Oh, you're forgetting that little detail, right?
But again, like now we're talking about a whole bunch of other things.
Right.
We're talking about just fighting. But he could have gotten into the country in May, right? Because he fought in January. If you fought here, you could get back into the United States at the time. So
during the pandemic?
Yeah, during the pandemic. Are you crazy?
What are you talking about?
I mean, I'm just saying, Ariel.
Does he beat Pacquiao?
No, bro. No.
Yeah.
He doesn't. I thought he did great against Floyd. I mean, 9 rounds with Floyd Mayweather. Who does that? Mm. But I don't know if he beats Manny. I don't think so.
All right. Well, we'll see.
But he does beat a lot of guys in mixed martial arts if he comes back.
Okay.
If Khabib does retire, he might get the belt again.
Conor's next fight, is it in boxing or MMA?
Mixed martial arts. I believe they'll get it worked out.
I say boxing.
He's such a good mixed martial artist, man.
It's a shame. Such a great fighter. It's like Jordan playing baseball.
Yeah, but he's such a great fighter. I think that he'll fight where he's going to find the most success, and I think that's in mixed martial arts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, DC, quick time out in all the fight talk, quick time out. Wanted to get a quick update because I missed it. End of last week's show, you were hyped because it was Monday Night Football coming up. And, and you said, no, I just asked you, you said Raiders, you said Raiders.
Saints. Oh man.
What happened? What happened Monday Night Football?
No, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
I will stonewall you. Okay, you want to know what happened? They cheated. Then we went to Las Vegas. They had a mission to get the Raiders their first victory in their new stadium because they cheated. I mean, we had 125 penalty yards. They had 10. We had a third down. We're down by 7. Oh, no, we're down by 4. We get a big play, third down or second down. They call holding. Then they call block in the back.
So okay, this is too much detail. We don't need all this recap.
Then we're second and 28 to where they go and score again. We're down by 14 points, and then the game's over by 10 points, 11 points. We got cheated in Las Vegas, and like they always say, don't bet against the house in Vegas, and the Raiders are the house now. So everybody can go get cheated in that new stadium.
Well, for those that missed it, DC was very confident. In fact,
oh my God, really?
He went to social media and
I did not go to social media. I did not go to social media. That was a private video. God, you're such a liar. This is what you should be like repenting for your sins. This is what you should be asking for forgiveness in Yom Kippur.
Speaking of the guy code, take a look at this video.
Bro, that's terrible, man.
Hey. Y'all remember my All About That Cake video back in the day for the MMA Awards? Well, tonight is Monday Night Football, and I'm so sure that the Saints are going to win that if they lose, I'm making a video dancing like Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. I mean, that's how confident I am. I'm making a video. I'm going to be dancing again if the Saints Nation don't beat the Raiders. So, come on, man. You know we got to get it done. Let's go, boys. Let's go, boys.
Oh, okay.
Man, that's terrible, dog. This is terrible. You knew, and I've explained this to you. That was a private video. That was not supposed to go out to the world, dog. That was not supposed to go out to the world, man.
Well, DC, I have to say something. On Thursday night, I'm walking my dog, Macha, and I get a phone call. As I'm crying here, I get a phone call from Luke Rockhold.
Oh, he said.
And Luke Rockhold was mad. I'm not kidding.
What's he mad about?
He said, listen. We got a problem. DC has a habit. He has a history of making bets, gentlemen bets, and not coming through, not paying up. Now, DC, can you tell the world what was at stake here?
Man, I don't know. Hey, no. Listen. DC, this is a private video.
Answer the question. What was at stake?
Man, if the Saints lost, I would dance like Cardi B.
Luke Rockhold said, we are all counting on you, Ariel. Me, bro. Zendo, the whole team. DC has to pay. He doesn't pay. And I said, you know what? I actually did an NBA bet with DC recently, and he backed out too. Yeah, you remember when the Rockets played the Raptors in the preseason? You're like, oh, no, we weren't actually betting. I was like, you know what? He does have a habit. I've heard this about him. He has a rep for not paying up. So, DC, we are requesting right here and now. How does it go?
Nobody wants to see that, man.
Make it wap, top.
Oh, my God. Dog, this is what my dream, this is what nightmares are made of, you singing that song.
Please macaroni stop, in the club. Let's see it. Let's see that rum shaker. Come on now. Pay up, son. Let's go. What is this? You know. I can't be dancing more than you here. Did you bet these men that you would dance?
How do you know the words to this song?
I had to watch it.
What is going on in the Helwani household? I mean, what is Walter? Yeah, Walter? Is Oliver listening to Cardi B?
Don't try to change the subject now that you know their names. Don't change the subject. Don't use my kid's name.
Yo, I'm not dancing, bro.
You have to pay. Did you make the bet or not?
Here's the problem. At this point, I was gonna pay the bet. I was gonna pay the bet. I would dance like Cardi B, like Luke. He said Luke did it. I was gonna dance like Luke. But then when Rosendo and them broke the code and shared private messages publicly, now I can't pay them privately as I planned to. So that's on them. I would have paid them privately. They would have gotten the video that was supposed to go to two people in the entire world. But instead, they broke the code. Something I would never do. I would never break the code of a private text message. Sorry. So that's on them.
So the bet's off.
Off bet. You know, I like to say that off bet.
Yeah.
The bet was off immediately when they put the video on the internet.
Wow. And
crazy too, because such front runners, the whole game, they were trying to act like nothing was wrong. They didn't want to share the video, but the moment they win, right? When they see that they're going to win after cheating, they want to put the video up. I can't stand those guys.
Because I was going to say, we'll make it drop on the top. Wow. Wow. Macaroni. Wow.
No, you remember that kid? All about that.
Yeah. There you go. That's a little something.
Like a whack.
Come on, macaroni. That's all I know. Anyway, all right.
I don't know the words to this song, bro.
I will be honest with you. I had no idea what he was talking about. He's like, the WAP. I was like, what are you talking about, the WAP? Sent me some videos. I did my research.
You watched the video?
I said, hey, you got the right guy. I will make this happen for you. And here I am putting you on blast.
I have not spoke to Rosendo and Shane in a week. And I don't think I'm ever speaking to him again. Our relationship is now over after doing that. Hey, you don't cross me.
All right.
You don't cross me because that's
okay. DC, speaking of friendships that are over, how about this trend? Every subject just flows right into the next. Jorge Masvidal, Colby Covington. Woo-wee. Best friends, training partners, roommates, and now potential foes. DC, the word on the street is the UFC wants to call an audible. They want to call an audible. They're saying, Jorge, Nate, like we said last week, right? Not right now. Let's go Jorge, Colby. How do you feel about this?
Boy, I'm telling you, that's the fight.
They listen to us. I feel like they listen to us. Do they listen to us?
That is the fight, Ariel. That's the fight.
Nate's mad at you.
Why? Why would Nate be mad at me?
He feels like you took the fight away from him.
Nate could fight anybody, and people are still going to pay attention. Big Nate, you can still fight anybody.
Who's he going to fight?
You're the man, Nate. You can fight anybody. It don't matter who.
Who's he going to fight?
Leon. Fight Leon.
Nate versus Leon?
Well, Nate just told him, Nate's like, hey, let him fight Leon. Let him fight anybody. I don't care. Nate can fight somebody else. We need the Covington versus Masvidal fight. It's the one. It's got everything.
It's a grudge match made in heaven, right? It's a promoter's dream. But is there a part of you, you come out and you say that you're going to do the Masvidal versus Diaz rematch. Do you have to stick to that? Like, is it fair to Nate to call the – no?
I don't think you got to stick to it. I think you can – I mean, essentially, you can do whatever fight you want. But, hey, Ariel, dare I say –
Dare I say
this is bigger and more bad blood than Covington Woodley? I mean, dare I say?
Oh, 1,000%. 1,000%.
Imagine how excited we were. I mean, we could not stop saying how it felt like a pay-per-view main event before Woodley versus Covington.
Yes.
Imagine what this one's going to feel like. This is the fight, bro.
Hey, Colby Covington's a star.
He's a star.
He is a draw and a star.
He has not made the leap yet. You know,
You don't think Colby Covington is a star?
I mean, he is in MMA. But he,
top 10 biggest names in the sport right now?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think Israel Adesanya has made the leap outside of mixed martial arts. He's a star in the entire
sport. Colby Covington is being talked about. Yes.
Colby's getting talked about by KD and all them dudes.
Maybe not in the best light, but still, whatever he's doing is working because people are tuning in. They're tuning in to either support him or to see him get whooped, but they're not indifferent, right? The worst thing you could be in sports is indifferent, right? Or as a fighter, especially.
When people don't care, boy, you're in trouble. They got to love you or hate you, and Colby's hated. You're right, Ariel. Colby's a star. He made it.
He is a star. Now, I feel for Nate because Nate put out this video on Saturday basically to say, yo, y'all must have forgot. I gave you the shot. You told me you would rematch me, and now you're going off and doing something else. Oh, by the way, when I beat Connor, I gave him the shot. Like, I'm a man of my word, and he's saying to the UFC, and I think specifically to Jorge, you're not being a man of your word. Is there something to that? Is there a code there as well, or does Jorge have to look out for number one and take the fight?
I just think that I think that big Nate is like, Nate wants to avenge the loss, especially if, like you said, he wasn't 100% healthy in the first match and realizes that he can do better. It's a tough one, right? Because I do believe that for the organization and for Jorge, it's a bigger fight. And if Jorge wants to find the most competitive fight based on what happened in the last one, right? Because that's all we have to go on is what we actually saw. He probably feels like it's more competitive with Covington right now. And I just I don't know if there's a code. I don't know if there's a code because for everything, you know, how Nate kind of comes and goes, he is right though, man. He's always kind of just run it back when it's time to run it back. So I could see how he would feel like it's owed back to him. Because he could have moved on, right? Imagine if he'd have just beat Conor that one time and said, I don't want to fight that dude again. I beat him. Like that he never would have given him an opportunity to get it back. So he could have did that.
And also he picked Masvidal, right? He could have picked anyone to defend that title, picked him after the Pettis win. So he's upset. But listen to this. This is crazy stuff going on at 170 right now, DC. Because listen to this. Okay, so they were going to do Masvidal versus Diaz. Now they're doing Masvidal-Covington. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. But now you have a situation where they want to do Khamzat versus Wonderboy. Wonderboy says, no, thank you. I don't want Khamzat. They were going to do Khamzat versus
Damian. Of course he doesn't. Yeah. Of course he doesn't.
They were going to do Khamzat versus Damian Maya. Damian Maya is off on the side. We'll talk about him in a quick second. Wonderboy saying, no, give me Leon Edwards. Leon Edwards is saying, no, give me Khamzat or Colby. Neil Magny is saying, give me Khamzat. There's a whole big mess of a situation here. So can we? I feel like we need to help the UFC out and everyone out. Right? Like, let's figure this out. Okay. Khamzat, who does he fight?
All right, here we go.
He wanted to fight in December against Wonderboy. Wonderboy saying, hell no, I want to fight Leon Edwards. Leon Edwards is saying, I want Colby. You get what I'm saying? It's a mess.
I get it. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Start from the top. Usman versus Burns. Done.
Yeah.
Masvidal versus Covington. Done. You're welcome. Leon Edwards versus Neil Magny. You're welcome.
Really?
Wonderboy Thompson versus Khamzat Chimaev. There you go. You're good. There you go. I'm done.
What about Nate?
It's that simple. It's that simple. There you go. It's good. Like, we're done. We're done.
Wow. So not only are you taking the Masvidal fight away from Nate, you're also just leaving him on the sidelines.
No, because so here we go.
Oh, right? I got a fun one. Hey, Nate versus Maya.
That could be fun. But how about Nate versus somebody else? You know, Nate won't fight. No, here's the problem. Nate Diaz won't fight just anybody, right? It has to be someone with the name. And honestly, a lot of those guys don't even fit it. Like, you put him in there with Leon, who's still trying to elevate his name. You need somebody with a name to fight Nate Diaz. Shit, Conor wants to fight. Let him and Nate do the trilogy, right? Why not just do the trilogy? If both of them are free. You guys have been saying that for years.
That's not a bad idea.
That could work. Like, why not? There you go, Nate. I'm not leaving you out, big dog. I'm giving you the biggest fight for you right now. You versus Conor. So, once again, here it is. Sean Shelby. Does Sean Shelby do 170 and down?
Yeah.
Okay, here you go, Sean. I got you, buddy. I got you, little buddy. Usman versus Burns.
Yeah.
Wonderboy versus Khamzat. Leon versus Magny. Diaz versus McGregor. Now you got five big fights. It's all settled. You're good to go.
It's not bad. I don't hate any of those.
I mean, you don't hate any of those fights. I mean, don't.
I spoke to Wonderboy. He said very, very matter-of-factly, nope.
You don't want to fight Khamzat? Nobody. Why would you? Who wants to fight Khamzat, the uncrowned champion?
Hey, Neil Magny's calling him out.
Yeah, I think Neil Magny I don't know what Neil's good, but boy, that Khamzat is something different, man. And you don't want to be in there with Khamzat Chimaev. And this is why I say Wonderboy, right? Let me tell you why I say Wonderboy. Because he's fought for the belt a few times already, right? Yeah. And now at this point in his career, he's kind of that guy that can still compete with the best of the best. But if you're able to get past him, you're completely ready in terms of contender. So when Pettis knocked him out, it showed, wow, Pettis is kind of back. And then when Darren Till was able to beat him, it got Darren Till the title shot, right? So it's like he's one of those guys now where he has to build through beating some of these guys in order to put himself back in the title contention or guys move into the title picture.
Man, so why can't they just say Connor? Okay, forget the Manny Pacquiao thing. Just do Diaz.
Diaz Connor. Happy. Yeah, do Diaz Connor. Let's do that.
That's what they should have done back in July. Empty arena.
But this makes all this. You put those guys in there. You need a crowd. You need a crowd.
Do you? We just had you versus Stipe in the arena. We just had Izzy versus Costa. The biggest fights are happening with no crowd. By the way, the crowd's great. I don't feel when I watch these shows for a second that I'm like, oh, I'm missing out.
I
forget. Do you forget?
I do at times. I got to be honest, man. But I don't. We got to be careful though,
because I don't want to crap on the people.
Massive part of the fight, right? It's so fun. The energy, it's like nothing you've ever experienced. But it has not hurt the product during this time.
So you want Hamzat to go back to 170?
I want Hamzat at 170 because I just feel like if he's doing that well at 185, imagine him at his natural weight class.
Yeah.
That's scary. It's scary that he's doing his upper weight class and looking this good.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Colby and Jorge because I heard they wanted to do that fight in December on the pay-per-view card. That would be below Burns and Usman. So that means a 3-round fight. 15 minutes. I kind of want to see those guys 25 minutes, but maybe that's I don't know.
That's because better for Jorge though.
Exactly.
That's better for Jorge. I was just about to say. 15 minute fight because he can kind of go at a higher pace and try to match Covington because you go 5 rounds with Covington by the end, you're starting to kind of drown. So yeah, better for Jorge if this is a 3-round fight.
Yeah. But my man, Nate, not going to be happy about this. I'll tell you that much.
Nate would be fine if he gets Connor. Nate,
I think he really wants that Jorge fight because he feels like it was taken away from him. Mm-hmm. The doctor, unceremonious, you know, all that BMF. He created it. He
isn't
promised
it kind of crazy that Nate's like mad at the doctor for stopping when his eyes like hanging open. The Diaz brothers getting cut.
It was a BMF. It was a BMF title.
But I mean, the Diaz brothers getting cut. They act like it's just like it's nothing.
It was a Fugazi stoppage. It was a Fugazi stoppage. Come on.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, you want me to tell you about something else that's Fugazi? Want me to tell you about something else that's Fugazi? Or should I say someone that is Fugazi?
Booker T.
Booker T. I mean, you talk about a guy that is Fugazi. This guy continues.
He's still on that, right?
Yeah, he continues to try to make a name off our name. I mean, you talk about a coattail riding jabroni.
Who's his friend?
I've never seen
him. Who's that guy?
I mean, you talk
about. I mean, who is his friend?
155 soaking wet, this guy.
I mean
I would break his back. I would make him humble.
I mean, I would like to figure out a way for us to be in the same situation where I handle Booker and you take care of this guy. Because this guy likes to run his mouth. And I know they say you run your mouth, but I mean, you have the ability to back it up. So when they look at – when Booker T goes, I'd like to give Ariel Hawaii something proper. He don't understand that by not taking on this big slab of brisket, he still got Ariel Hawani in the back that can defend himself because you are 6'2", 205 pounds of Jewish steel. You ain't afraid of nobody. You ain't scared. You ain't the average reporter. They act like you're the average media guy that they can
I got 9 awards that say otherwise.
Come on. You talk about
the 5-time. I'm the 9-time.
You're the 9-time.
Yeah. Maybe
big
10.
Big martial arts journalist of the year.
I lost count.
You gonna probably have you ever lost? Have you ever lost?
Listen, I don't like to talk about these things very much. I'm not that kind of guy. But
my question is, but no. When we talk about arrogance, right? You don't want to talk about that. You don't want to talk about your awards and all your Booker T does. No. So why don't you go and roll around in the mud with him a little bit and talk about what you've been and who you've been to this sport?
Well, those two guys should thank us because you know they get approximately 10 to 14 listeners on their show. We're about to make them famous once again because they responded to us, DC, mm-hmm. on their show, Hall of Fame. I mean, what kind of a name is that in the Houston area? What time does it air? At 1 a.m. on a Friday night? I mean, who's listening to the radio then? Well, they responded to us, DC. This is what they had to say.
Just as well as Cormier. I don't want to break Cormier down as much as I want to break, you know, Hawani, just a little piece of something proper, like, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, And true to my word, if I catch Ariel Hawani at Starbucks you know, ordering his little caramel macchiato, I'm gonna run up on him.
Oh, you know, he's a pumpkin spice latte kind of guy.
You might be right. You know what I mean? Because that's another story. We'll round back to Helwani in DC, but you got the word, DC. I threw the challenge out. Anytime, any place, whenever you're willing to step inside the Hall of Fame, because that might be the only way you get there. I'm ready for you.
What is Booker T talking about? First of all, he clearly knows that you would whoop his ass. Like, he knows that, right? I mean, I feel like he has come to that conclusion. So now he's coming after me? Now he's coming after me? What's he talking about? Caramel macchiato. Why is he so fixated on Starbucks? Why is he so fixated on C? Let me tell you once again, Booker, it's on site. It's on site. Roll up to my coffee shop and it is on site. You want to have a chai latte? You want to have an Americano? You want to have a flat white? You want to have a macchiato? I don't care. It's on site, Bubba. You're irrelevant. Are you kidding me? You talk smack about my friend. I came in there. You got all off topic and now you're trying to come after me. I mean, really? What are you, 55?
Hey, yeah, he's 55. He said it very clearly. And he look at me. Look at me.
Wearing those gloves. He's like, hey, Queen Charmel, give me the gloves real quick. And then he puts them off and puts them back in the closet. Booker, hey, listen,
I think it's hilarious. It's hilarious how people go after you right away because we're both picking fights together, but it seems like I'm in the clear. I don't have to fight King Booker. I'm still good. He going to come after you, but guess what, though? I'll stand next to the ring and let's go, Ariel. Let's go, Ariel. But you can't run. You can't run and you got to be willing to fight. You got to be willing to fight, Ariel.
And I both of those guys.
I believe in you.
And people think I'm playing a character here. I'm not playing a character. I'm tired of the disrespect.
I know you. I know you're beating his partner.
Boxing.
I know you're beating his partner easy. I mean, but I'm telling you, man, the match with you and Booker, it's competitive, but I still got you, baby. I got you beating this dude. I got you taking Booker out, man.
I feel like you'd be the best thing to ever happen to that company. I mean, let's be honest. The writing these days is a little comb-see, comb-sa. Could you imagine DC and Helwani waltzing into that place?
Hey, I waltzed. Hey, Ariel, they got mad at me because I want creative control. I want creative control.
Well, how about this? And then all of a sudden, I get this sent to me. So, okay. So we have Booker T.
Ariel, I'll send in my storyline and say, you're welcome. Just like I just matched up the entire 170-pound division for Sean Shelby. You're welcome. This is what we're doing.
Hey, we got the 15 years past his prime. Dare I say 18 years past his prime, Booker T. And now we got this guy who spends more time straightening his hair in the bathroom wearing baseball gloves. What's his name?
AJ
Styles. AJ. Oh, yeah. Cool name there, AJ Styles. He said this about you recently. Someone sent this to me, DC. Quote, I think that obviously he's an amazing fighter, right? I like him. He's an amazing commentator. And obviously, as good of a commentator as he is, he's an even better fighter. Okay, he's trying to butter you up. But I don't know. I mean, you still have to learn how to wrestle. Wait. You still have to learn how to wrestle. We're talking to a two-time Olympian here. We're talking to the man from the Oklahoma State University. We're talking to a double champ. But this is where it gets better. DC, this is where it gets better. I don't know if you heard these comments. Do I believe he would be able to do something like that? Yeah. But is he going to want to put in that extra time? I don't know. You've got to really put in some effort into it. I know Rhonda learned fast, but she learned from the very best. I guess the same thing can be said about Daniel. I mean, what's wrong with these guys? What's wrong,
Ariel?
With these guys?
Ariel, so I'm not willing to work now.
Yeah.
Wait. So I'm not
King
willing
of
to
the grind.
Now? You think this is that how you make friends? It sounded like initially I'm smiling. AJ Styles wants to be my friend, and then he starts to insult me subtly. Right? It's like nothing's worse.
Put in the work.
Nothing's worse than subtle little insults. Right? They're hidden in compliments. They're hidden in compliments. The insults. Does he want to put in the work? Rhonda learned from the best. Why do I not have access to the best? Am I not Rhonda? Am I not capable? I mean, we're talking about a guy that has the same hairstyle as my 78-year-old aunt. It's dried out. I mean, how about borrow some lotion or whatever that spray is that those guys are using in the back so you can look cool like Seth Rollins? I mean, this hairstyle, come on, AJ,
where are you going to the batting cage? Why are you wearing batting gloves, son? What's going on over there?
Continue down the path, AJ, and give me the compliments that I am rightly deserving of, right? Say how great I am as you started, but don't insult me underneath the compliments because that will not, and well, look, Booker T was going to be the guy. I was going to go beat up Booker T. But don't be the first one, AJ. Don't be the first guy that we take out when we go over there. I mean, this is crazy. These guys, hey, Ariel, can we go forward? I don't even want to talk about all these guys anymore.
Ariel,
it's over. Let's go forward.
All right.
Because we're giving them too much time, and it's really upsetting me. I'm about to walk off.
I thought you were going to do the WAP. Is that the WAP?
I'm about to walk off.
Is that the WAP? Hey, I was just saying, call up El Toro, and we'll make things right, all right? Me, you, and
Kane out there. Hey, me, Kane, and Ariel show up over there. It's a real problem.
That's right.
We're going to make what was done to Kane right. Right away, we make what's done. We're going to kick some real tail over there, right? With our new manager, Ariel Helwani.
That's
with
right.
Me, you, and El Toro.
Talk about the nation of domination. This is the nose world order, all right?
We show up like the outsiders.
That's right.
And it's all shoot fighting with me, baby. It's all shooting fighting with me and Kane. Brown pride across his chest. Brown pride across his chest. I'm getting a removable tattoo. I'm putting a removable tattoo across mine. Let's go, man. Let's move forward. Enough time for these dudes. Right. But Kane, hey. That wrestling gym you built in your backyard, I'm in there this week.
Don't tell them.
It's time to get to work, Kane. Let's make them think that we're not training or that we don't have the ability to work hard. That's crazy, man. That's a massive insult from a guy that I thought was a pretty good.
It's not funny anymore.
AJ Styles way back in 2004 at TNA, and I thought, wow, what a nice guy.
It's not funny anymore. DC, did you get your PS5? I mean, you were out there thirsty on the internet.
I'm just out there panhandling, begging, thirsty. I mean, just looking thirsty, right?
I got money. What is this? Come on. How fast was it to get the PS5?
I just want a PlayStation, Aaron. I just want a PlayStation.
How fast was it?
I don't know. Maybe 16 minutes.
Do you have it in your possession?
I don't have it in my possession, but I did get a pre-order. I can't tell you. I can't tell you who got me. I mean, you know. I've got friends. Hey, there was a country song. I got friends in low places. It's here now to be always. Oh, I got friends in low places.
That's you.
I got friends in high places. I got friends in high places, and they allowed for me to get something.
You're playing 2K now? I mean, like, retirement DC is just.
Hey, I got some friends on 2K. And hey, listen, I'm not going to mention them by name yet because they made a promise to me that I'll win 20 games in a row. And when I win 20 games in a row, they get mentioned. But up until then, they will remain nameless friends because, I was terrible, Ariel. I mean, I'm losing every game until I got a hold of those guys. I done won 3 in a row now, 4 in a row. And I got hooked up. Ariel, I get up the next morning. Ronnie 2K hits me up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Legend himself?
Ronnie 2K, the man. Because I'm tweeting. Ronnie 2K hooks me up. Hey, DC, da-da-da. He goes, what's your PlayStation name? I give it to him. Man, I go to the gym to start practicing, trying to make my guy better, right? Because he's slow. He don't play very good. I do one drill, and all of a sudden, everything fills up. I get every badge. I get every attribute. He gave me the plug. So Ronnie 2K is good with me. He's the man for me. NBA 2K is like, it's life right now.
DC 2K over here. The talent evaluator for EA.
Don't say that. It's called the ratings adjuster Sports UFC 4. EA Sports UFC 4, which is, hey, I love 2K, but there's no game better than EA UFC 4 right now. And ratings have just been done.
Okay, relax with your plug.
Ratings are just getting done.
Relax with this for a second.
The new ratings are just getting done, and tell you, people are going up and people are going down because I'm fair, but I'm tough.
You are tough.
You don't impress me, you will suffer in game two.
Hey, by the way, so you got the PS5, Ronnie 2K name drop. What about last week in the middle of the show? You said that Governor Cuomo of New York.
Oh yeah, I talked to him.
What happened?
One of the greatest conversations I've ever had. The governor of New York State, because you told me New York City. You got to talk to the governor of New York City.
I was like, no, the governor
of New York State.
Yes.
Talked to me on the phone, 20 minutes, bro. 20 minutes, and just so nice. Cuomo actually goes, you know, and he had very deep New York accent. Dude, I've never been like such. I fanboyed on the phone with him for the first 15 minutes. It was crazy. And then he tells me, he goes, You fought in New York up in Buffalo, and they weren't very nice to you, DC. He told me that. And I go, well, Jones is from Rochester. He goes, that Jones, man. And that's about as much of the conversation I'm going to share. But, bro, trust me. It felt so good to speak to this man in the middle of all that, you know, they're going through with the pandemic. It's crazy.
Almost a DC, Mark. He just wanted to talk to you? He didn't want to ask you for, like, a PSA?
Didn't ask for anything.
That's it. Just said, I want to talk to you.
Talk to me and tell me how proud of me he was for how I've carried myself throughout my career and how I'm a champion and all this other stuff. Man, I'm telling you, my career, my life and my career has been, retirement has been good to old DC.
Did he say he's a fan of this show?
Well, he did like me, and he liked me in this role.
Oh, okay.
Thought my partner was a bit of an instigator.
Stop that.
He thought my partner was a bit of an instigator, but he said, you know what, I can deal with him.
Hey, shout out to Governor Cuomo.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You got any shout outs before we go?
You know, man, I was supposed to give my shout outs to everybody yesterday. I started thinking about it, and I don't really have any shout outs right
That's
now.
That's tremendous. Well, you could have easily said Cuomo. That would have been a natural one.
Oh, wait. You know what, Ariel? I do have shout outs.
Oh.
I've got some shout-outs to quite a few. First off, I want to give a shout-out to Governor Cuomo for reaching out to me. I want to give a shout-out to the governor of New York State, Governor Cuomo, for reaching out, taking the time out of his busy days to just tell me that he was proud of me. Because you know what, man? A lot of times your work goes unnoticed by certain people. One who I talk to quite often that I feel takes me for granted. But people in high places are taking notice of what I do, and I appreciate that. Also, to the gentleman that hooked me up with the PS5, I appreciate you.
Oh, God.
And I am very thankful for your contribution to the Cormier household. It is what it is.
Hey, I want to give you a shout-out, DC. 11 years ago this week, Oklahoma, Strike Force Challengers, Gary Frazier. You made that walk for the very first time. It was amazing. You walked in there. Your belly was all jiggly and everything. You turned to Bob and you said, hey, Bob, chill out. What'd you say?
Good. I'm a gamer.
When that's
the lights
right.
are brightest, I come to play.
Put your hands up. Man, 11 years ago. Unbelievable. Time is flying. Crazy. Met at the Apple Store. Have we told people about the Apple Store story yet?
100 times. And okay. They don't
Well, shout out to you. Hey, shout out to Luke Trainer. I don't know if you know Luke Trainer, but he's a guy that you should know. Luke the Gent Trainer made his Bellator debut, posted his post-fight interview on my Instagram. You probably saw it but didn't like it. This guy has an unbelievable spirit. Happy-go-lucky like I've never seen before. Is just so loving. Does a lot of work for children's charities. Is just a great guy. They call him Luke the Gent. I'm a big fan of his. So shout out to Luke the Gent Trainer. Also, shout out to Mason Jones. Mason Jones is now the double champion in Cage Warriors. Won the 170-pound title this past weekend. He was also the 155-pound title. Reminds me of another double champ from Cage Warriors who said, hey, Dana, give me a call. After his fight, he said, hey, Dana, give me a call. I'll go to Fight Island. Bring me the baddest guy that you could find, and I will fight that guy. So shout out to Mason Jones. Hey, by the way, shout out to Lex McMahon, longtime MMA manager, 49 years young. You know Lex, right? Also a promoter for Titan FC. Announced this past week that he's going to fight. He's going to have one fight. He said, for the longest time, I've been trying to get men and women to fight for me. I have to fight. One time, all my money is going to go to a charity for veterans dealing with PTSD. Hey, big respect to Lex McMahon. Hey, shout out to the Toronto Blue Jays. You know the Toronto Blue Jays, DC? The Toronto Blue Jays, Canada's team, didn't get to play a single game in Canada. They were displaced. They had to play in Buffalo, where you fought back at UFC 210. They made the playoffs, DC. Can you jump on the Blue Jays bandwagon with me? Playoffs start on Tuesday.
Braves are in the playoffs, so I'm good. I've always liked the Braves. They're in the playoffs. We're good to go. That's all
shout
I
out,
care.
Shout out to Amanda Nunes and Nina Ansaroff.
Yes, on their baby.
They welcomed the baby into this world. Beautiful thing.
Congratulations to the champ. I spoke to him about a month ago when I gave Amanda her 5-star necklace for EA Sports UFC 4. And they were very excited about Nina having the baby, how good the pregnancy had gone. Now the baby's here, healthy. Congratulations, champ. And nothing makes you happier than a new addition to the family. Amanda and Nina are enjoying that right now.
And last but not least, hey, shout out to Irene Aldana and Holly Holm headlining this Saturday's Fight Night card back on Fight Island. Very important fight in the 135-pound division. Hey, speaking of Amanda Nunes, I think if Aldana wins,
Aldana gets the fight. Aldana will get
the fight. At 135. Obviously, Nunes fighting in December against Megan Anderson. But at 135, Aldana's the number one contender, right?
Yeah, she is. And she's fantastic. She's got great hands. She's got good boxing and tremendous power. I mean, she was the one that made Ketlin Vieira. Remember, Ketlin Vieira was all the rave until she ran into Aldana. And Aldana hit her with that nasty shot that put her out. If she can beat Holly Holm, she'll be as viable a contender as we've seen for a long time for Amanda Nunes.
Well, I got to tell you, DC, this has been a great day. I mean, on this Yom Kippur, right, me and you repenting for our sins. I mean, let's be honest. We don't have sins. Everyone can get it, right? Everyone can get it. Hey,
I got a shout-out. Oh. I got one more shout-out. Actually, okay. I got a shout-out to my man, Walter. Patrick in the soccer game.
Wow.
My man, Walter Helwani.
Yes.
Coach off to the side. I mean, when I think of a coach, I think of you on the sideline, like the Great Bear Bryant, you know, with the hat on.
I got the hat.
Not too much, right? Not too much, but just enough. Phil Jackson, just the greatest coaches in all of the sports. You out there with the great Walter Helwani.
Walter Mack.
And then after the second goal, Walter Helwani scores the goal, stands there like I've been there before. I mean, listen.
He was huffing and puffing,
standing over him like, listen, I've been here before. I'm not going to celebrate. I do this. And look, also Claire Helwani.
What is going on? Hey, now you're just trying to make it.
Listen. No. This was a great video. Yes. Claire Helwani saying that she's just a little bit better than Anthony Davis. I mean, come on, man. They go, what's Anthony Davis? Claire goes a 7. They say, what about you? She's an 8. I mean, come on, man. You got some star kids, bro.
Wow. Thank you. That means a lot to me. You're such a good friend, DC. If we were in the room right now, I would hug you.
Don't ever hug me.
Okay.
Don't ever hug me. That's where it stops, right? This is where the line's drawn. Don't you hug me. Ever.
All right. All right. We're out of time. Thanks to everyone for watching, as always. Thank you, DC. Thanks to our great team. Thanks to all of you for listening, downloading, subscribing, reviewing, all that stuff and more. Hey, we're trying to get the 5 days here. We're taking over fastest growing show at ESPN. Let's go. But for now, we're out of time. Back next week. Same time and place. Tell us what pace.
Peace.
We're out of here.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.